Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Well, have you watched the Olympics? Anybody watching the Olympics? I've been enjoying the Olympics. I haven't watched as much as I would have liked to have, but it's been fun to watch some of the Olympics. But I want to talk about the Olympics a little bit this morning, and in a passage here that talks about running and the games, you know, like we're dealing with the Olympics in our time right now. Paul writes about that here a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is very familiar to all of us, but I thought it was fitting for the time that we're in right now. But I thought about the Olympics, and my first thought is, why are we so interested in the Olympics? What is it about them that draws our attention so much? I mean, there's a lot of good things on TV, but so many nights shows that I want to watch, I'm skipping to go over here and watch the Olympics and look at it. And I thought, well, maybe it's because it's only every 4 years, you know. Maybe because it doesn't happen all the time, I don't get burned out on it. So when it does come around, I don't want to miss any of it. And that could be some of it. But I think that the quality of athleticism that we see draws us. I mean, these people are perfectionists in the thing that they do. They want to excel, and they do amazing things that we can't fathom. I was watching the long jumpers. Those guys are like birds just for a minute there. I mean, when they leave that line, I don't know how they float like they do, you know. I mean, they know because they do it, and they could probably tell me what I'm doing wrong. The things I'm putting in my mouth probably have a lot to do with it to keep me from floating. But I think we love to see people excel. I don't know about you, but I love to watch winners. Don't you like to watch winners? Aren't you glad when you sit down to watch an athletic event that at least one team wins? That's why I don't like soccer too much. And forgive me, those of you who like soccer, but sometimes they tie. And it's boring. I don't like to see them tie. I love to watch them. I like overtime. Fight till the end of that thing if you have to. And also, I don't know about you, but I can't handle wasted potential. When I see wasted potential, it just... my grandfather used this term, and I like it too. It leaves a grit in my crawl. You know what I'm talking about there? When I used to coach sports, there would always be that one player that I always saw more in than I got out of him on the floor. And I wondered, what can I do to get it? You know, I'd bribe him with hamburgers or whatever it took to try to get all of their potential used. And I can't stand wasted potential. But when we watch the Olympics, these Olympians, they don't waste an ounce, do they? And every fiber in their being goes into what they're doing. Watch those swimmers, and those guys get right down to the end, and you can see who's going to win very clearly on your TV screen. But all of a sudden, at the last minute, somebody just reaches out and takes over and wins that race. It's amazing to watch. And we're going to read here in 1 Corinthians today about that kind of that same idea, but in a spiritual sense, using this physical application or this physical state of being for a very good spiritual application. So let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and we'll begin reading in verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So here we read Paul talking. It's pretty much except he's talking about the Corinthian Games. You can make the application whether he's talking about the actual Olympics or the Corinthian Games. We have both of those. And next to the Olympics, the next important game would be the Corinthian Games. And he is writing to the Corinthians here. Just to kind of let you know about the Corinthian Games, they were held every 3 years. And they included games such as running, leaping, spear throwing, boxing, wrestling, chariot racing, and racing in armor. Now, some of those I'd go for. Some of them I don't know if I could. It'd be fun to throw spears, especially if you got to throw at something, you know, or somebody. Any of you hunters in here, you're that way, right? And that racing in armor. Now, see, you get me in a race, and I'm not so good. But if we all had to wear armor, I might could outrun some of y'all because I'm a little bit bigger, and maybe I could tote my armor better than you. So I think I could go for racing in armor. And imagine if you got to race in armor. If you were fully armed, you could bump each other or something like that. Maybe not, I don't know. But that was the Corinthian Games. And in these Corinthian Games, there are many benefits to those who won. Nowadays, we get a gold medal if we win at the Olympics, or a silver or a bronze. Can you imagine getting a silver? How sickening that must be. Did y'all see the one girl? She didn't get gold, and she cried through the whole thing, through the whole ceremony. I thought, well, at least you got silver, but you put your whole life into that for at least 3.5 years, 4 years, but probably your whole life since a child. And I mean, by a hundredth of a second, you lose. Can you imagine what that must feel like? I feel sorry for those folks. And I'm grinning while I say that. That's awful of me, isn't it? But I mean, it's just like that, and you lost. But for these folks here in the Corinthians games, there are a lot of benefits to them for being a winner. Your name and hometown would be shouted as they awarded you this wreath. They'd put a wreath around your neck. And then they would shout out your name and your hometown. So it was publicity for you and for your hometown. That was a big deal. And then when you got home, you'd be given a parade in your town. They would give you a certain amount of money. And then you would get the right to sit in a place of honor at the games for the rest of your life. And there were many other lucrative rewards they got for winning that we won't go into this morning. Paul uses these games as an illustration for life, for them then, and it applies to us now. He says, so run. Did you read that there with me? Look back at the Word of God there in verse 24. He says, know ye not, but they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run, or run like that one. That one receives the prize. Don't run like the bronze medal winner. Don't run like the silver medal winner. The one gets the gold. Run like him. Paul says, so run. Run like this. And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning is, run like this. So run. He gives principles through this, well, in this entire book. Chapter 9 is just full of good Bible principles for living a successful life. But right here, we're going to pull out four of them just this morning in the verses that we read. It takes desire to live a successful life. You must want to win. I'd say amen to that. It takes direction. You can have all the desire you want. You can want all you want, but eventually you've got to focus on a goal. It takes discipline. You've got to be willing to work, and it takes determination. You can never give up. And I say amen to that. So run with desire, with direction, with discipline, with determination to win for God in the Christian life. So let's take a look at each of these this morning, and then we'll be finished. The first one, it takes desire. I must want to win. So run. How am I successful? How do I get the gold? How do I achieve in this life? And we're not talking about for us. Paul said we're not talking about a corruptible crown. They run for a corruptible crown. You and I, we run for an incorruptible. Could you tell me who won the men's 400-meter relay last year? I don't know. Do you know? I mean, does it even matter at this point? The NBA Finals just finished. I don't know that I can tell you which team won that. It was very important that night. But does it matter now? It's corruptible. It's things that aren't going to matter in eternity. When I used to coach, I always wanted to have a state championship team. I thought, man, if I could ever have a state championship team. And I was at a coach's clinic, and a guy came in to talk to all the coaches, and he said to us, guys, I know you all want to win the state championship, but I promise you, when you're done, ESPN trucks won't be there. And I thought, man, that's discouraging. Somehow in my mind, I thought they'd know about me down there in Georgia at my little school, how important we were. But he made a good point there. It was something corruptible. But you and I, we get to live for something incorruptible. As Christians, as God's people, we get to build up treasures in heaven. We get to do things that last for an eternity. So run. And it takes desire. I want to win. If I want to make my life count, if I want to win in life, if I want to succeed in life, I must want to win. Watch the Olympics. You'll see the same thing in every athlete, every single one. I don't care if they're from the United States and they're a world-renowned Olympian, or if they're from a country we've never heard of and they're the only one from their country. You'll see the same thing in every one. They have a desire to win. They didn't put the time, the effort, the travel, the money, all that into it to get there to just want to lose. It's not fun just to be there. They want to win. It's a passion. They eat it, they sleep it, they talk it, they walk it, they think it, they live it. They want to win. They're not just messing around. They have a passion, a deep desire to achieve, to win, and to set records. Ask yourself this morning, What am I passionate about? What is it that lights your fire? What is it that turns your crank? What is it that gets you up out of bed in the morning? What is it that when you think of it, you think, I got to get up and get to work on this? What are you passionate about? A passionless life, a life without the desire to win, is a wasted life. Don't waste your life. Some people will get to the end of their life and reflecting back, they'll say, I wish I had more time. I wish I'd have done more. Don't do that. You know how you change the future? You know how you make sure that in the end of your life that's not your thought? You do it now. You do today what you want to do in the future, and you will change the future.
Yeah.
That changes your past too, by the way. Did you know you could change your past?
Yeah.
Do it right today, and in the future you look back on your past and you'll be happy how you did it. You can change your past right now, today. What are you passionate about? Don't waste your life. If you want to make an impact with your life, you must have passion. You must have desire. You must know what you really want to do in life so that you can go for it. You know, Paul was a passionate person. Paul had a desire unmatched in Scriptures, probably outside of Christ. In verse 24, he says, so run. But what does he say after that? That you may obtain. You're not running aimlessly. You're not running just for the sake of being in the game. Run that you may obtain. Play to win. If you're going to go for it in life, you might as well go for gold. I mean, why would you aim short of that? You may not get gold, but why would you even aim short of that? Our coaches used to always say to us, I want you to give 110%. Being the smart aleck teenager that I was who had taken math, I realized you couldn't possibly give 110%. Now, any of you in here that play athletics and your coach say that to you, don't go to practice tomorrow and say, my preacher said you can't give 110%. Get you. You will give 110% after that, I promise you. He'll take every bit of it. But in my mind, I always thought, how I can't give 110%. But they were saying to me was, don't just shoot for the finish line. Aim farther than that, and then when you reach that, you'll be glad how you performed when you got there. Run to win. Paul was a passionate person. He said, run that you may obtain. If you're going to get up in the morning and get out of bed, if you're going to do at least that much. Now, do you ever have days where you just can't, where you just don't? Anybody else besides me just have days where you just don't get up and get out of bed that day? I mean, you may physically leave the bed, get off the mattress, but you don't shave, you don't leave the pajamas. You may transfer yourself from the bed to the couch where there's a bigger TV. I got an amen there under your breath, some of you. But some days we just don't, and that's all right. But I would say, if you're going to get out of bed, don't just go through the motions of your day. You might as well just stay in bed. Not only will you not get much accomplished, but you'll probably make people angry with you as you did go through the motions of your day. Win. Go for the gold. Don't just run to place. Go for victory. Make your life count. Succeed. Be at the top. Be the best that you can be in your life. That sounded like an Army commercial, didn't it? Be all that you can be. But that's right. We should be all that we can be. Not just our Army. The Christian Army should be all they can be. That poses the question, why in the world would anyone not want to win in life? I mean, if we polled you this morning, I could go one at a time with it. To each and every one of us in here today, you'd say, yes, I want to be successful. I want to win. I want to do all that I can do. But when it comes right down to it, we don't live that way sometimes. So you have to ask the question, why would anyone not want to win in life? Let me give you some reasons this morning. Some people don't want to win because of guilt. Some have the idea that I don't deserve to win. You tell yourself that. You say to yourself, knowing my past, I've had my chance and I blew it. And for the rest of my life, I don't deserve to win. Well, that sounds bad when we say it out loud, don't we? But would you admit to yourself and not out loud this morning that sometimes that's how you think? I believe we're all guilty of that from time to time. We don't think we deserve it. And hey, frankly, we don't. But in Christ, He does through us.
Yeah.
It's Him that deserves it, and we're living for Him. Some don't want to win because of their background. Somebody in your past may have said to you, you're never going to amount to anything. I hope no one ever said that to you. I hope you never say that to anyone. Everybody can amount to something. But somebody may have told you that. And you may be living under a curse from that all the rest of your life. I'd say to you this morning, they're wrong. Just being here today, you've amounted to something more than what they expected out of you. You're a churchgoer, and that's something. Praise the Lord for that. Don't ever let your background keep you down. Other people can't determine what you do with your life. You're in control of that. God gives us that freedom. So how do I avoid this and get a desire to win? I would say to get a desire to win, you need to ask yourself, what do I really want most in life? Now, hopefully you didn't immediately go to the boat that you really want in life, the house that you want in life, the car that you want in life, the job that you want in life. And those things are fine. And that comes along with the desire. You're going to need to want some things in life. But when it comes right down to it, what is stuff? It's just stuff, isn't it? When it gets old, it's not stuff anymore. What do we call it? Junk. The best thing we can get today will be junk someday. Ask yourself, what do I really want in life? And don't be apathetic about that. Don't just say it Sunday morning at church and then go out Monday and say, well, I'm going back for stuff now. Spend some time this week and consider that question and say, what do I really want in life? And you may say, well, I've done all of this already in life and I'm done. I'd say to you, if you're not dead, you're not done.
Amen. That's right.
God's not through with you. He has something that He wants you to do. If you're breathing, if you're alive on this earth, there's a purpose for your life.
Amen.
Ask yourself, what do I really want most in life? And don't be apathetic about it. Everything starts with desire. Nothing happens until you start getting God's dream for your life. Men, we're all lucky to have a wife. Amen.
Amen?
Or a girlfriend, or whoever's sitting next to you this morning. You're lucky. As bad as we hate to admit it, we're ugly boogers. I mean, we're rough-looking guys. Our faces are what we're so proud of. Because if you look below my face, I'm embarrassed. But just stay up here and I'm happy. But you know, it grows hair all over. I mean, we're ugly people. Some of you men are getting mad at me right now. Hope you don't have guns. But we're lucky. We read in Psalms this morning about how awful men are. I don't remember the verse, what it said in Psalm 12 there. I got mad at Brother Mattis for calling that chapter out. You're lucky. Do you know, guys, how you got that girl to sit next to you? Some of you could probably tell me the story. But I would suggest to you that it started with desire. Amen? I don't take it much farther than that, but that's you saw her and you said, boy, she is beautiful. Guys, you're supposed to shout amen right there as loud as you can. You saw her and you said, she is beautiful.
Amen.
You wives, I'm sorry. I was setting them up right there. They're either sleeping, I'm boring them to death. Let's just blame me. I'm boring them to death. They didn't hear what I said. And something inside of you said, I'm going to buy her food. Right? Isn't that right? But it starts with desire. And that's where it starts in life. A desire to want to be successful. A desire to win. Desire, though, is really just the starting point. Next, it takes direction. You have all the desire in the world. You can say, I want to fly. I have the desire to fly. Be the first human being to flap my arms and fly away. You know what will happen with that? You will die. You will fall off something high, and you won't live anymore past that. It takes direction. You must focus on a goal. Look at verse 26. I therefore so run. Now what we're talking about today, verse 24, he said, so run like those who receive the prize, so run that you may obtain. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now he moves over to a boxing illustration here. You may be a boxer. I don't know the first thing about boxing. I went to this boxing club one time. Me and my friends were teenagers. We were out jogging, getting ready for basketball practice. And our coach said, jog around the block. And we did, and we passed this boxing club. And we thought, well, go in there and then just go back, and the coach won't ever know. So that's how I ended up in a boxing club. And we got in there, and these guys, boy, they were mean green. But I was bigger than everybody else. I said, man, this is the thing for me. I can beat up on all these guys. So they gave me some headgear and some boxing gloves, and they said, all right, get up in here in the ring. And, man, they pulled a guy out from somewhere else. I don't know where he came from, but he was a big old dude. No, I don't want to fight him. They said, yeah, he's in your weight class. I said, I don't know if he is or not. And then right as they got ready to ring that bell, I got to thinking about that guy's big old hands. And I was covered up here and down here, but my nose was wide open. I said, he's going to hit me in the nose. It's going to hurt really bad. Even with a padded glove on, that's going to hurt. And I got out of the ring. I'm ashamed to admit it. I quit right there. That was the end of boxing for me. But Paul moves here from boxing, and he says, I fight not as one that beateth the air. Y'all seen Rocky? That's a fun movie. And you see, he gets to certain places of his training, and there's nobody else around. He's just running or something and yelling for Adrian. And he'll just punch a lot. Y'all know what I'm talking? And what do we call that? What is that called? Shadow boxing. That's right. And you're just beating the air. They're not accomplishing anything. I don't even know if that's a good way to train, just shadow boxing, because it's not realistic, really. I mean, you can't do all of what they do as fast as they do with a real person standing in front of them. I mean, if you did, you'd look kind of silly. Can you imagine a guy shadow boxing with his opponent standing right in front of him? How silly that would look? But anyways, Paul says it takes direction. I'm not going to fight as one who just beats the air. I'm not going to run like one who just runs in place. I'm not just in this to horseplay and mess around and to goof off. It takes direction. Run with certainty. Have purpose. Have a target. Have a goal. Have an objective. I not only have desire, but I have direction. But you know, unfortunately, that describes what most people want rather than where they are. Most people want direction, but they don't have it. Most people want a purpose and a target and a goal and an objective, but they don't have it. That's because most people are just playing around in life. And I say that to mean they're never really going to get serious about God. They're never really going to get serious about the Word of God. And you can't have direction outside of the Word of God. Till you get serious about the Bible, it's been called a lot of things, God's roadmap, His love letter, all these, you can call it whatever you want. Till you get serious about the Word of God, you can't have direction. They're never really going to get serious about the Word. They're never really going to get serious about the contribution they intend on making in this world with their lives. Just playing around. Just beating the air. Paul says, don't fight as one beats the air. Don't fight uncertainly. Don't just have all this desire and no direction. Have direction. You've got to have direction attached to your desire. Proverbs 17:24 is an interesting verse. Let me read it to you. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding. Sounds good. I like that. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding. But you know about Proverbs. There's usually a good and a bad mixed in the same verse. Well, here comes the rest. But the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Doesn't that sound like somebody with desire and no direction? The eyes of a fool are in the earth. Seeing things they'll never get. Wanting things they'll never get focused on to go after. Wasted potential. Always seeing what you cannot get, what you cannot do, what you cannot reach. Fool's eyes are focused on the ends of the earth. You've got to have direction. Then once you focus your desire with some direction, sounds like we've got a lot accomplished there, doesn't it? But that's really when the hard work begins. Because then it takes discipline. I must be willing to work. 1 Corinthians 9:20. Let me say something. I must be willing to work. I love benevolence. It is one of my favorite things, and I believe as the church, we are commanded to be benevolent. We are to stay after the poor. We are to help those less fortunate. We are to give until we're broke to help the poor. But I will say this too. You can erase 98% of those without jobs if they're willing to work.
That's right.
Now, some of you here may be without jobs, and I know you're looking, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the ones laying on the street somewhere doing nothing.
Yeah.
But now, with that said, we'll help. I don't care if they can or cannot have a job. We'll help until we're blue in the face. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But it takes discipline. You can have all the desire you want. You can find direction in life, but when it comes right down to it, you've got to be willing to work.
Yeah.
You ever just want your grass to be mowed? see people's yards and I think, I wish mine looked like that. You know, it could. They either paid somebody a lot of money or they worked hard on it. But for some reason, I just don't want to get up out of my recliner and the air conditioning, put my Coke in the fridge, and go out there and turn a key and ride this thing around until my yard is mowed. And then it gets too high, and then I go mow it when it's too high, and the grass is everywhere. It looks awful. It takes work. Look at verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Those with a desire. Every man that striveth for the mastery. You can have all the desire you want, but you're going to have to use self-control and be disciplined. Discipline and self-control are worse than cuss words in our culture right now. You don't hear it. You don't tell me what I've got to do.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want. Who says I can't? I got freedom. You know how you got that freedom? Because someone else was disciplined and you self-control.
That's right.
You know how you keep that freedom? Self-control.
Yeah.
They're not popular words. Discipline is what we need most and want least in our lives. Self-control is the thing that turns ability into achievement. Nobody has ever succeeded in life by just doing what they please. You know what I would get accomplished if I just did every day only the things I want to? I'd eat a lot. And I would sleep a lot. Those are my two favorite hobbies. I love to eat and then take a nap and then get up and then eat and then take another nap and then get up and then eat and go to bed, get up the next morning and have breakfast. That's a perfect day. Nobody is going to accomplish anything doing that. I could see my doctor a lot more if I did that. Discipline. Willing to work. The difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is this. Successful people are willing to do things and develop habits that unsuccessful people aren't willing to do. That's the difference. You know what it comes down to right there is a choice. Am I going to be disciplined and self-controlled or am I not? Successful people are willing to do things, make that extra call, do the extra practice, study the extra book, go the distance, and then a little bit more. But that takes discipline. Let me share this with you. And if you want to get mad at me for this is not my original thought. I borrowed it and put it in my notes, and I'm going to read it to you, and you can get mad at the person who wrote it. All right? We want beautiful bodies without exercise. Amen. I would love to not exercise and, you know, look like some kind of super power lifter guy. That'd be great. We want wealth without work. Why do you think the lottery's so popular? We want success without sacrifice. We want spiritual maturity without service and study. You may say, well, I wish I knew more about the Bible. Discipline, self-control. Pick it up and use it. It's absolutely impossible to have the things you want in life without discipline and self-control. We need desire, we need direction, we need discipline. And then the last thing is it takes determination. Never give up. You can be as disciplined as you want, and in the end, you quit, and you don't get there. I made a commitment in January, and I haven't quit. That's not where I'm going with this. To run through the springs in September, October, whenever Kingston Springs has the 5K run walk through the springs. I may do more walking than running, but I made a commitment. I'm going to do that. So I started to jog. And I was excited, and I still am, and I've been going. I mean, what is this? August, and I've been jogging. I know I don't look like I've been doing much jogging, but I promise you, I've been going over there and getting some jogging in. And it's getting better and better and better. But when it comes, sometimes it's really hot. It's been really hot this summer. And I don't know how much I'm supposed to do. I've got an app, and a man hollers at me in my ears. He is drill sergeant. He says, let's go, on my phone, and my music plays, and then every so often he'll tell me to walk or to jog or whatever, and that's how I've been training. And he'll say, run, and I'll have walked, and I can see my car out there in the parking lot, and I start thinking about everything I got to do today, and I'm hot, and poor old Miss Shanae, she's at home with the boys all by herself. And now that new baby, and all these thoughts get going in my brain, and I've been disciplined, I had the desire to run, I got direction. I went and got that app. That man tells me exactly what to do. I know where I'm shooting for. And I've been disciplined to go out there and do it, but sometimes I lose my determination. And it's easier just to get to my car and get in there and get water and sit down and drive home than it is to keep doing what that man in that app's telling me to do. And I could turn him off. And he goes away, and then he never knows. But it takes determination in life. You can't quit. Look at verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Subjection. Lest it by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you ever see yourself as just a castaway? Do you ever see yourself just amounting to nothing? I hope you don't look at your life that way. I hope that's not your intention. And it takes determination to keep that from happening in your life. Never give up. Paul says here he's going to do whatever it takes to keep going. Determination is saying, I'm not going to stop in the middle of the race. I'm not going halfway through and quit. I'm going to make it to the finish line. That's determination. You know what Paul wanted to do? He wanted to get down to the end of his life, serving his Savior, and hear his Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. He knew that took some determination. Someone once said, great people are just ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of determination. They don't know how to quit. Some of you say that about me sometime while I'm preaching. Boy, he just doesn't know how to quit, does he? Let me finish. Can you remember all the winners from the Olympics from 4 years ago? We don't remember them. It's just an afterthought. I remember Michael Phelps won a lot. I've seen those commercials with all those gold medals. I remember that. I don't know what he won. I don't know how or whatever. We don't remember much. I can't even remember really who won much this year. Paul talks of these great games and how all this is going on for a corruptible crown. They're going to get a wreath of some kind of greenery, olive branches or some kind of pine branch they would use sometimes, that will soon fade and be forgotten. It's a corruptible crown. But you and I, the Christians, we run the Christian life for things incorruptible, for an eternal heavenly reward. Or maybe you're not even looking at it as an reward for yourself, for an eternal heavenly reward. Fill in the blank there. You know, I don't want anything for me, but I want something for others. So that's what you're working for. But I promise you, it's not something corruptible. And I would leave you this morning by saying, so run. Run like that. Don't run like you've been running where you're getting nowhere. Run like that one who runs to obtain the crown. And then to make the play on words, I would say to you, so run. Go. Do it. You can't not do it and get there. You've got to go. Have a desire to run with purpose. Use God's Word to mix direction with your desire. Be disciplined in what you set out to do. And then with great determination, never quit.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at parfithbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.